Can I record the intro with you too?
I'm having mango.
You're having mango. This is Scott Stimson from the San Carlos Computer Club and International Computer
mango
Solutions
fight.
With BB, our mango wrestler, and her sibling, Emily.
What's up?
What's up, Computer Club?
What is up, Computer Club?
So this is an intro for the last episode, which is extremely late getting out. We're just getting ourselves snacks, and we're trying to get an intro out before tomorrow when the next meeting is.
I'm trying to be enthusiastic, man.
Thank you for the enthusiasm. This is the intro for September 14th, 2021. I am Scott Stimson, your host.
I am Moss, the favorite child.
All right. There you go. Towards recommendations.
Cookie Trip on TikTok.
Cookie Trip on TikTok. BB.
And Bill Burnett's inside.
You
hey,
are hey,
hey.
How you gonna do it?
We're doing good. We're doing the intro for the podcast that has to be out tonight.
Hello.
Say hello to the San Carlos Computer Club.
Hello, San Carlos Computer Club. This is La Mommy.
This is La Mommy. Okay, this has been the Stimson Family Chaos. My name is Scott Stimson. I'm the head of the chaos. This is...
Get out! I'm gonna get naked in here.
Bibiana, minor component to the chaos. This is...
Emily Stimson, grand part of the chaos.
Yes, the grand moth of chaos. The grand moss of chaos.
And the reason half this has to be cut out.
And this is the mommy of chaos.
Yeah.
The mother of
and
chaos.
We're all here just saying, tech on.
Tech on.
Tech on. Tech on.
Well, and how unusual, because I'm feeling like I'm having a bad experience, but it's not showing me. Last week it was. Last week it was the first time I'd seen all that extra analytic data, like what was going on, how much internet, those graphs that you found under that.
Yeah. Well, it says high values or large variations may reduce call quality. And you see, from 10:38 to 10:39 and a half, the delays were 293 megaset or whatever MS is, 1863. Wow. And now it's at zero.
Now there's no more delay. Something has happened. I have no delays on my end either. Something has happened.
Now on your end or my end or both? Or?
Well, that's a good question. Because I could see influence over the meat in both your area and my area. Like if you thought it out with me, they have the ability to have control over endpoints in geographic locations. They have that ability. They have the ability to recognize your closest physical connection and then compare that. Is that coming through?
Yeah. You just got a little jerky, so I
there
turned on my troubleshooting to see if it was showing up, and it's not.
Okay.
Hmm.
Oh, but I think I am. I think. Are you hearing yourself? No, you're not. But I think I'm creating an echo over here. Let me switch over to headphones.
I hear no echo.
No, but I think I'm creating.
I hear no echo. Echo. Echo, 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 echo.
It's very, 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 very delayed. It'll come in a few minutes.
Well,
so, Bill, do you have your camera off, or is it because of our network connection?
No, camera's off.
Okay.
Yeah, if you follow the thought through with me, like with Netflix and Prime as well, Google can have and do have critical servers in geographic locations. So maybe something like Meet, it can recognize and prioritize across routes to specific servers. So in its troubleshooting and sorting out, maybe it can get better because it can identify a faster connection for this style traffic. Like users in your geographic area don't need an instantaneous connection for surfing web pages. Instantaneous just being metaphorical for being able to have that asynchronous response, that quick response, that good ping when I talk to you and you understand and talk back to me in a reasonable amount of time. That needs to happen for Google Meet to be a good experience. Whereas that doesn't need to happen so much for reading web pages or even watching a YouTube video. If it takes a little while to buffer the YouTube video, that's okay as long as it stays steady. But for this, we don't need a lot of internet, but we need instantaneous internet. We need this back and forth happening very quickly. We need ping numbers to be really low.
It takes 5 seconds for my picture to respond to
an update.
What I'm actually doing.
Are you watching you on me?
Yeah, both. I'm in a window. I have a live window on the right, and then the picture of me. Oh, you're frozen now.
But what I did is I just put you full center.
You're up.
So you should be on
okay,
top
so
now.
Okay, so it's like 1 second delay now.
I still marvel
that's good.
At what we're able to accomplish here, pulling everybody together.
Oh, yeah.
I'll take a 1 second delay.
Before COVID, I guess there was businesses that would have meetings on Zoom. And,
you know,
and like
I,
that, but
I've done my fair share for
people.
The last almost 20 years helping businesses do teleconferencing across the border.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Long before we were trying to do it with mobile devices, they would set up. Cisco and IBM both had big packages that they would set up, and you'd have a conference room, and you'd have projector and microphones, and you had dedicated equipment, and sometimes you'd even buy dedicated bandwidth from your telecommunications company to make sure that was available. Now it's all passe.
You know,
hey, Maggie.
I retired in 2002, and they had they were doing that at work in like 2000.
Yeah. So it was, in fact, when I left the university was 96, and we were beta testing at the time video conferencing software that was being used for streaming, and you could do what we're doing right now in this web browser. You'd have all these individual windows, and each one of them would be like a little app running that was getting a video feed from someone. And that was in 96.
What school did you go to?
UAA, Anchorage, Alaska, University of Anchorage, Alaska.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Judy, you're muted.
Hello, Judy.
Maggie, it's good to see you. I have a question for you. How many waves washed up onto your house?
I'm not there. I'm in Tucson.
Oh.
But someone sent me a live video, and they were not breaking over my wall.
Oh, that's good.
I wondered, because the video that I saw, I thought, that's got to be hitting Maggie's house.
We had it happen. It wouldn't surprise me if it did. It has happened. But that particular day, I don't think the winds were strong enough or something. I don't know. But I'm sure there's salt all over everything, but it didn't go over the wall.
Good.
Nobody enjoying the new palapas then, huh? Like by Charlie's Rock.
I kind of thought that was a weird place to make a nice little beach compound anyway, but I guess managed to save the palapas by tying them to the railing.
I saw
that video.
I did.
And I think they saved the palapas. I don't know what else was down there. I don't know if there were tables or what, but
they were carrying the tables up in the videos.
Were they? Well, you know, once all this subsides, it should be okay for the winter. They'll just have to redo it every October.
Well, do you know how much they paid for that? This is the big controversy in Mexican news right now. I don't know if you're aware of how much they paid for it, but 8 million pesos.
For that?
$400,000.
For that little bit of nothing?
The Guaymas is so angry at their government right now, because they've obviously stolen this money and done this. Well, I say obviously. Maybe it's not obvious to some, but it seems like that could have been done for a tenth of that price. And they were told right from the beginning that was not the right project because of the location, because it always breaks up anything they've ever tried to build in that area. Been here over 20 years. Every time they've put something out there, it has been destroyed.
Wow.
Oh, senor, mi primo gave me a good price to do that.
Yeah. Well, and you notice it's all in wood. Not concrete, not fortified. It really feels it really feels to the Guaymas people that this was just a money grab, and apparently it's state money.
Just,
it's not even federal money.
Think of what they would have done with that $300,000.
But it was a grant from the state, then, huh?
Something like that. Wow. Yeah. Hearsay, well, you know, all hearsay. I don't have any actual information. I've got, but I do know that I saw a number of different videos from a guy reporting on it, a guy that's been taking videos and talking about this project right from the beginning. It's like, you know what it is? It's another fountain.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
This one really has water, though.
Yeah. The fountain would have been a lovely desert garden.
It would have been a lovely cow trough if they could keep it full of water without it leaking out onto the street.
It'd be a nice desert planter if they do
that. Yes, exactly.
Did anybody ever see the fountains working with lights and everything?
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely.
Yeah, they worked out, about a month?
Yeah, at least a month.
Drive by that and see all that water squirting into the air, and you haven't had water for 3 days.
Right.
I don't get that. Were you anybody happened to go to that meeting
at the country club? Yes.
No. The other one. Yet. Next to
Called
Caldwell
Depot Banker.
No. Next to Caldwell Banker.
Oh no.
What's his name's place? I can't think
JJ's.
Of the name of it.
JJ's?
Yeah.
No.
There was one man, I don't know who he was. He was irate that people were against that. Every nice city in Mexico has a fountain. And somebody said, well, most of those cities don't have water problems.
Apparently. Right, right.
Well, yeah, and they had to build the infrastructure for that fountain because they have to bring water to it. Water wasn't there to begin with.
Right.
And so then they break that in the street so that we have water flooding the streets. I live in the Ranchitos. I still get water twice a week, but there's a man-made flood of water all around the fountain.
So, Scott, I have a question for you. Did you see the email I sent you?
I saw you sent me an email, but I've been fighting with my own internet problems this morning and didn't get a chance to read it. I'll bring it up now. I was hoping this was a topic for today.
Well, it's about the update that people need to do for their iPhones and iPads.
Okay.
It's a security update.
Well, is it? It's what, Judy?
A security update. It was on, what was it on? It was on USA Today.
And there's a problem with it?
No, they just are advising that you do the update.
I'm not going to jinx it. I'm not going to jinx it.
Don't jinx it.
Do you own an iPad, iPhone?
And there's also an Apple event. Yes.
Oh, yeah. There is an Apple event coming. We're expecting an iPhone 13.
Yes, there's an Apple event.
There's always an Apple event in September.
So, anyway,
and forever
just to let you know
it's announced new phones.
Right.
Sorry. Go ahead, Judy.
And I opted to go ahead and get the 12. I opted to get the 12 rather than the new one. So.
Well, the 12 comes with that $700 discount from AT&T, right? For your trade-in.
Exactly.
That's good incentive to get
or
the 12.
You can do a $300 discount, or you can do a $300 discount and keep your phone, which is what I opted to do.
Oh, all right. Are you still locked into the financing that was keeping you from using the dual SIM?
Yes. And I have to wait 6 months before I can pay it off.
Oh.
I have to keep my current thing for 6 months.
Well, that's a lot better than 3 years.
So that's fine.
Does that in 6 months, if you pay it off, you should be able to open that other SIM, if I understand correctly. If I understand correctly, at the end of 6 months, you can go ahead and use that second SIM in the phone.
I can buy out my phone. I still have to pay for it. I can buy out the payments.
Okay.
And it'll be my phone.
And then you can have the dual SIMs.
So, as soon as I could pay them off, I did.
And then you can program one SIM for Mexico and one for the U.S. That's awesome.
Right. And the other thing I wanted to gloat a little about, and Paul can gloat with me, they are actually laying the fiber optics in Loma del Mar.
Woo! Inside Loma del Mar or up to Loma del Mar?
Inside Loma del Mar.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Wow. Did you not get the email, Paul, the update?
I haven't seen it, but
I'm sorry.
I probably
it was yesterday and in Loma del Mar.
Oh yeah. I imagine.
Laying the
I'll
fiber
take a look at
in
that.
The streets. That doesn't mean much, really.
Yeah. Well, then they have to
it's
open
not
it up
be
properly.
Connected.
And then they have to hook it. We have to all get new modems. So at least I have to here. So
yeah, you will. You've never had a reason to have a fiber optic modem before now. And so you'll have to get a fiber optic modem.
No.
Morning, Chester.
Right.
Good morning.
But the
Buenos dias.
But the email I get from Telmex says it will be at no charge to me.
Right.
I got it's coming and believe it. It's not a lie. Believe it. Similar to what they're saying.
Hang on to that.
Yeah. Oh, I do.
Well, that's...
Dad, I just sent you an email. To the club.
A message down below or?
No, I'm a real email.
I am dropping the link to our document into the in-call messages. You can click at the bottom in-call messages icon. And at the top of that document has our two meet codes. Cheryl, I got the indicator that I was having troubleshooting or problems with the network like we're talking about this morning. And all of a sudden, my microphone was blocked. I'd never seen that message before. The microphone had a little red dot next to it. And if you hovered over it, it said your microphone is blocked. And then all of a sudden, I was disconnected. And now I'm back. So look forward to that as we go forward with this meeting of the San Carlos Computer Club.
I'm kind of having the same problem right now. I tried to unblock the camera. I turned it off turn it on the normal way, and it's coming up, and it's got a little X in the box that says we're blocked.
Yeah, I saw that.
That's weird.
Yeah, we got that picture too.
Now, when I started
and I would
up,
say it's network connection in San Carlos.
When I started up this last time, of course, it started me up with a muted microphone saying there's so many people in your group that we're going to start you up muted. But as soon as I unmuted it, I was back to working full blast again. Well, this is the San Carlos Computer Club. We are live and we are online and things are working until they don't. And this is the San Carlos. I am Scott Stimson from International. You all know me. I'm your friend from the tech world. Here to answer any questions that you might have that I might be able to answer or do Google searches until my computer craps out. And we've got some topics in a document that I had just – or some people were having problems with the link I shared. So I think Cheryl reshared a link. I'm hoping that worked. It got – people were able to get into it. It does have the two meet links we'll use. If we get disconnected from this link, then we'll use the second link that's in that document. Last week, we didn't get disconnected. There was no timeout. There was no countdown. So what that means is we have no idea what's going to happen this week. So we're just ready. And we've got a couple of topics up here. And we've been talking about Judy's iPhone. I guess we did a follow-up on Judy's iPhone. I think the $300, keep your old equipment, and then 6 months later, you're able to unblock the dual SIM. I think that's the way to go. Take advantage of that.
You know, I heard Judy say that, but she said that the offer was if you had something way higher than what I have. You know, we're going to go and meet with AT&T
right
when we get to the United States, and we both have 6Ss, so I don't think we're getting any of those offers. So
you may be able to get a little bit of a trade-in on it, whatever the incentivizes you. And Samsung, actually, I mean, it's unfortunate that you're not shopping in Android because Samsung has a habit of taking just about anything as a trade-in. Of course, then again, the secret with Samsung equipment is wait 4 months and the price will drop by about 10%, and the iPhone will never do that.
Judy is muted. She's talking to us a lot, but we haven't heard a single word.
No, now you will. Cheryl, that was in the calling the AT&T retention department. That was not in a store. Not in a store. They cannot make that offer.
T-Mobile has any working phone.
Dave, are you digging something out for us?
Yes. Well, I've been having lots of fun recently.
Okay.
It started out with I decided to get more with the program and solve some of my performance and coverage issues in the house. And I got a TP-Link system, you know, mesh system.
Yes.
Well, that worked fairly well, I know, but every so often the little red light would come on. And what I realized is that my existing router is as strong as the Pico, and therefore I had to turn off the wireless on my existing router to get the Deco to work correctly all the time and not keep trying to switch networks.
Your computer was automatically switching between the two Wi-Fis? Is that what you're
saying? The Deco does. Is the one doing the switch. It would try to, because that's the purpose of the mesh. It's trying to pick up the best signal that it can get from anywhere.
Well, yeah, but so it shouldn't be able to make a logical connection with your old Wi-Fi unless you're in some sort of repeater mode. Where you've authorized it to use your old Wi-Fi. Your old Wi-Fi could probably cause interference, like radio magnetic interference, sharing channels and whatnot, that kind of interference.
Well, yeah, it's not the interference. It's the part of my house I have to get to with Ethernet. So therefore, you have to configure part of the TP-Link Deco stuff as an Ethernet, which then says it's an access point, not normal recommended.
I would imagine you have to use a switch as well if you're doing Ethernet. Is that correct?
They give you the choice of it's called an access point with their system.
Well,
if you use Ethernet.
Well, right, but the Ethernet is wired to a central location. Is that correct?
Correct. And you're using a switch there. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, and you have to come out of the main unit to the switch, and the switch has to go to the other Ethernet locations.
Okay, so the switch is sitting it's going internet to Deco to switch, is that correct?
Okay, it's going, let's say, internet to VPN router. VPN router has to connect to an Ethernet to the primary Deco. Deco has to go back to the switch, and then the switch goes to the other Decos that can't be reached by wireless.
Okay, yeah, no, that all sounds right.
Yeah, very interesting that you had to run it that way. But part of it is, you know, then what I wound up doing actually is running just the 2.4 gig wireless on the Decos because it goes farther and gets through more concrete and stuff like that.
Sure.
But I decided, I might as well still keep running the 5 gigabyte only.
Yeah.
On the VPN, since it's right there and I can isolate and affect the two totally and use that.
By changing Wi-Fi networks on your individual devices. Like if you wanted to use the VPN, you would choose the VPN Wi-Fi network from your phone or from your Apple TV or from your Fire Stick.
Yeah, so if I want to switch, and I do the same thing like on the TV Roku, if I want to watch Mexican, I just flick which wireless I'm connected to right now and go back and forth all the time. Now, some things, they're very interesting. For instance, I didn't realize this, but on a Roku box, in order to redefine your network connection, simply removing it doesn't do it. There's a special option under advanced options that actually does that.
Now,
otherwise,
did you say this is on your Deco?
No, it's on the Roku box.
On the Roku box. It doesn't automatically your previous Wi-Fi connection.
Right. It always remains it. And even if you delete it, it's not deleted unless you go to the thing called advanced options on Roku. And there it is, remove all wireless definitions.
Okay.
Which is one of those little secrets.
That's a cool little tip about the Roku. I didn't realize that. You said it's under advanced?
Yeah, under advanced options on the Roku. System advanced options.
And this is really a Dave issue or a Scott issue, because what you're doing is you're wanting to continue to run the old network, but you don't want it automatically connecting to it, and so you're having to look into this. Most normal people wouldn't have run into this problem.
Right, and partially what's been getting into this problem is the fact that Locast was put out of business by the lawyers, basically.
I was wondering when we were going to talk about that, because I think that's a great topic, because I was just getting excited about Locast, and then all of a sudden it shut down, just like the Aereo.
Yeah, Locast was really great because it made it very simple. You could watch all your local things. Your local things would be about 60 different channels, not just what you think of as the normal half dozen or so. So then I started going back to my connection problems with VPNs, you know, to get around the location spoofing because football season started. Well, CBS All Access, now Paramount, well, that didn't work because they were defaulting to, I can't figure out location, so therefore it's Wichita, Kansas, which is the normal U.S. default when they can't figure it out. Got a little bit farther onto that, and it looks like switching protocols of your VPN connection seems to be solving the problem. What is it? IKDV2 or something like that protocol?
I'm not recognizing that.
Versus OpenVPN seems to be working much better to bypass because the current HTML5, even with a VPN, can figure out your location. And many more sites are starting to obviously be using that because I'm seeing things more and more blocked both inside the U.S. and out.
Yeah, really all they have to do is determine that you're using a VPN. Then they can just shut down your access and say, turn off the VPN if you want to use us. And so that's really been the game, trying to determine whether you're using a VPN.
But then what you do is just reconnect to the VPN, you get a different IP, and so usually that gets around that.
But what you're talking about is that not functioning as
correct.
Well.
With if a website is using HTML5, the current blockage things and circumventions aren't working.
Because they're able to tell the actual route, or they're able to tell that there's a route in place, a fictitious route in place.
Independent of the VPN, they can still tell your location with HTML5 code. And so some websites I'm going to seem to be forcing you, even though it's a U.S. website, I must be connected to the Mexican connection in order to do business with that website, including even some financial websites which are blocking a VPN. I'm also getting the reverse of all this stuff. It seems like this protocol I never even realized exists seems to be the best thing to avoid blockage. At least it's avoiding me with CBS, but I've got to do more work with that because I've only tested it so far on my PC, where it's very easy to switch protocols with ExpressVPN. That's one of the choices when you do a connect.
Is to use their new
three
protocol.
Bars on top, and you can choose protocols. So anyway, I net this up. I've been doing lots of testing, let's say, trying to circumvent the location, all in my goal of trying to reach my Denver Bronco football team, which I used to help keep the stats up in the press box.
Well, have you found a solution to your VPN issues? It sounds like you've figured out what's going on with the Roku. I mean, to reiterate,
to
go back.
It looks like this protocol.
Go ahead, Dave.
I think the solution is this different protocol from OpenVPN is the solution, and it's not what's called Lightwave, which is a ExpressVPN terminology only.
So Lightwave isn't doing it for you, but open protocol looks like it will. Well, we look forward to hearing more about that.
No, the open is definitely not doing it.
Oh, the open's not
doing
it. Yeah,
like IK, not doing it. It's like IKD maybe, and then V2.
Yeah, I'm not recognizing that as an
something
acronym.
Like that protocol. Yeah, I'd never heard of it, and I just started doing some research, and it's been around a while, and they say it's if you do start doing the searches on what's the best protocol, it's one that's coming up.
Well, out of everything that you've just covered, I have stuck a link into our document about Locast suspending operations after the court ruling. And if you guys don't know anything about that, you can read more about it at this document. But Locast was the one that Dave was talking about, where it was a nonprofit. You could donate if you'd like. They had antennas in different service areas, and if you were coming from that service area, then you were entitled to watch their TV, to watch those TV channels that were being broadcast across the internet using Locast. And Locast was designed specifically to get around legislation that brought down previous services for copyright infringement. They were a nonprofit, which was the reason that they were able to operate. And I guess they're appealing the court, but I bet they're not going to be able to, because there's so much incentive to keep them from starting back up. And I think one of the things that they did, I listened to somebody speculate that they might have had a better case if they weren't so actively taking the donated money and refortifying their infrastructure and going into other markets. Oh, I guess Judy's out of here. Bye, Judy.
Yeah, their first notice was, we will no longer nag you for payment. It's going to be totally voluntarily. That lasted only a day. And the next day they just said, basically, we're ceasing business. And my theory is, I think they just said, hey, fighting this isn't worth the money. We're much better if we want to just take our equipment, sell it to somebody else and reincorporate and start again with a few different terms. It would probably cost us much less money.
Well, it'll be
interesting
to see, because Aereo was really...
Right. But so, they weren't a nonprofit. They were making money.
That's right. But they went to court and they made this legislation to stop that kind of service. And so then Locast was created specifically to get around that legislation. And now they're being shut down by the court. So do you think that they're going to resurface as a different company, or another player is going to come in and try and work in this space, working around this most...
Locust had made a fair amount of money, and the thing that they got shut down for partially was the claim was that their profits were profit, therefore they were not a nonprofit. And Locust's comment was basically, the profits are what we had to use to expand our network from city to city.
Yeah, it's kind of a catch-22, or burning it at both ends, because they could be a very successful system if they keep reinvesting in themselves with the donated money. But the fact that they've got enough to reinvest in themselves is what made them look like they were a profitable business.
Right.
So they were not nonprofit in spirit, according to the law, apparently. Which is
okay,
odd.
The different VPN protocols are OpenVPN.
Oh, yeah. OpenVPN.
IKEv2 and WireGuard. And I think WireGuard is known by Lightwave if you're talking ExpressVPN.
I'm trying to make a quick note. OpenVPN, IKEv2, Lightwave, that's the proprietary ExpressVPN, right?
And then there's WireGuard also, and then the very old PPTP, which you don't really want to use.
Yeah, we should
If you look up a comparison of those, you'll find some interesting discussions.
I've got my mic off.
Hi, Jim.
I've got my mic off.
No, you don't.
No, you don't.
Oh, oh, hello.
It says your mic is off, but we can definitely hear you.
Morning, Jim.
Good morning this afternoon.
Are you in Ottawa?
Uh-oh. Jeez, I hope I didn't say anything
rude. Are you in Ottawa?
Hello.
Election day is coming up, too.
Yeah, that's an exciting time to be here. I'm wearing my orange shirt.
Hey, what is the significance of the orange?
Well, you know, every party has a color, and our new Democrats are—they're
orange.
Orange.
All right. What were you going to say, orange, Jim? Yeah. I didn't mean to cut you off.
I thought that was Irish Protestant.
Well, she's campaigning too.
Well, I'm not wearing the colors, but we did vote yesterday. So.
Oh, good. Yeah, we have to vote on voting day now because we missed the early vote. So be down in the thick of it. But we have to vote here with an absentee ballot. So you know how they always come out 3 days later and say the final count is. So I don't think our writing's going to be that close, but still, we better put our names on the line.
So we just got that notice, Scott, that we have, 10 minutes?
Yes, I got that.
Yeah, it just came up in the bottom of our screen. Okay. And basically, you had put, wait a minute. You had put the document with the links, and then I put one in, but I put the wrong one in. So it's the most recent document that's in the chat room is the one that has the other link in it.
When I signed in, there were two links.
I didn't see it in the email. Oh, yeah, I did
see it in the email. You're right. But you're really jerky again, Scott.
Speaking of email, I sent you an email, a picture of the history of cell phones.
Is it on the link?
My fault. No, it's San Andreas' fault. Poor San Andreas. Yeah.
He's got broad shoulders. We can blame everything on him.
So I just put the other link in, and it's telling me that I have to ask to join. So, Scott, we will have to wait for you to get in there and start it before we can join you.
I'm trying to do it right now, as well as pull up Paul's picture. Okay, I can join now. Looking for others in the call. No one else is here. It's funny. It gives me those messages, but doesn't allow anybody in. I think I'm in now. So should we just move over to the other link? Does everybody have a tab open with the other link? Must be having internet problems.
Says you'll let me in sometime.
Okay, great.
Are we switching?
Yeah, we're switching over, Chester, if you can hear me.
We're in limbo.
Okay.
Can we all move?
Hey, I'm in here, but it's not telling me to let anybody in. That's weird. Oh, now it is. Come along, come along. Multiple people.
You're still in the old link, you realize.
Yes. Come on, come on. I'm going to hang up from the old one. Oh, what is going on? Come on. Let's go, let's go.
Now I see you.
Yay.
I see your logo.
I'm here. It just did that squeezing that I've talked about before with internet. My internet.
You got all the mirrors.
All right. What? Something really strange is going on because we're switching meets and now everything just looks great again. You guys all sound good. Nothing's frozen. Mm-hmm. It's almost like there was a problem with the last meet.
No, you just lost it, Scott. You started talking and it was good, and then all of a sudden it bleeped.
All right. I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
Quit saying it's good.
Yeah, I keep jinxing it, I guess. I don't have any warning messages on my end, which is odd because that's what I expect. I expect it to be on my end. I definitely have had problems on my end this morning. Well, if everybody's coming in clear at the moment, we do have some topics here I thought people might find interesting. I put this link last week, but we didn't really talk about it. If you guys are looking for funny things for Alexa to tell you, there's this article Make Use Of called 21 Funny Things to Ask Alexa. How come I can't get the link to come up now? Come on. There we go. I should have opened it before I opened my mouth.
I tried a couple of them.
Did they work for you?
Granddaughter was with us. Can you talk? Yeah, I haven't tried a lot of them, but.
Well, and I'm just waiting for it to open up now. I really should have opened it up, like I said, before I opened my mouth.
Yeah, well, it's not working very well. I've got it open, but.
Oh, good. Well, did you have a favorite in
Alexa,
there?
Alexa, what do you want to be when you grow up?
For some reason, I'm showing up twice.
All right, Fred, I see you twice. On screen. I'm going to kill your other one. And then I'm going to fill out a report that you're an abuser of meat. That's what it asked me. Do you want to fill out an abuse report as you kick this person? Like, yes, Fred is horrible. What is he doing in our meeting?
Uh-huh.
Who's got an Alexa? Alexa, can you bark? Anybody got their speakers on? Bill, is she barking
Alexa,
for you?
Bark.
He said, can you bark?
Here's big
fart. Fart.
That was a cheap wobbling one. Stay random.
Fred.
Alexa, oh. Can you bark?
What?
That was a quick and squelchy one. Try asking me for a long and windy fart.
I was going to say, ask Alexa random. If she can talk like Yoda.
Can you hear that?
Yeah. That was great.
That was a lovely one. Try asking me for a springy fart. Try. Say random.
Did you install
She's giving
that
me
plugin?
Different farts.
She's
long
giving...
and juicy.
I don't think that was on the list here. Did you install that ability? That skill?
Yeah. No, it wasn't, but our granddaughter knew about that one, and she had it doing all of the different kinds here. Yeah. So.
Well, this is a link to an article that has 21 different silly things you can ask Alexa to do. Alexa, are we in the Matrix? I just realized I don't have my Alexa on. Anybody getting an answer to my question? Tell a dad joke. Anyway, if you're at home bored, there you go. You got something to do. Go ahead, Fred.
Bill, you are muted.
Ask her what she's wearing.
Nah, go ahead. Go ahead, Fred. We can hear yours.
Alexa, what are you wearing? Alexa, what are you wearing?
What'd she say?
It used to baffle her. Now it doesn't. They don't make clothes for me.
So she's naked.
This morning, I went into the bedroom to change to go into clothes to go to town, and Cheryl was trying to get her to play stripper music, but she wouldn't. Ah.
I didn't know what it was playing, but it wasn't what I was thinking.
So. Alexa, are you a nudist?
Here you go.
It's an Alexa show. She's showing you pictures, isn't she?
There's a whole bunch of stuff that I can show up, movies and TV.
Yours is an Alexa show, is that right?
It came up on the TV. Mine's an Alexa Cube.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, the Cube actually turns your TV into a show, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Well, it's interesting when you've got
something on
there's
something on our Fire Stick that says it says that you can use Alexa with the Fire Stick, but because we have it in the living room and there's already an Alexa Dot and a show, I can never get the Fire Stick to do things. But
well, I've had a couple of good experiences, but it's just been anecdotal, just to see if we could do it. Like, I've asked Alexa to play The Mandalorian, and it has successfully opened up the Disney Plus app and started on the Fire Stick. And I asked I have one of the traditional Echoes, one of the first, the big, tall cylinders. And I asked the cylinder, and it turned it on the TV on the Fire Stick success. But then I tried to follow that up with other stuff and didn't have a good experience.
She does ask me if I want, sometimes when I ask her to play something, she thinks I'm asking her to play a movie instead of a song, and she'll say, do you want it on your living room TV or something? So she recognizes it, but between the two of us, we get confused easily.
I think the Amazon technology is such
Alexa.
A great
Lucky Bill's there with you.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think the Amazon technology for me is one of the perfect examples of how we live in a good enough kind of society right now, where we're getting like 92% of the way there. And we're just never at 100% accurate. But we've settled on, somewhere between 86 and 92% accuracy. And so it's fun and it works, but you've learned to not depend on any of it at any moment in time, because it just doesn't work all the time.
I think Alexa's blonde.
Hey, what's that supposed to mean?
I think you better read the crowd here, Fred. Yeah. There are a few blondes in this meeting.
Yeah, read the room, Fred. Besides, it's 2021. Alexa is non-binary.
Spelled B-A-L-D. Yeah.
B-A-L-D. Oh, okay. What was that?
I just said that we're all a little blonde, especially the B-A-L-D kind of blonde.
The blonde, yeah.
I don't get it.
A number of us are missing the blonde hair we used to have.
That's right.
So I put a link
I went from blonde to straight white.
Yeah. I'm going from
Scott,
blonde.
You are so out of sync.
I am so out of sync.
What's Arizona doing? What's the weather down there?
It's 106.
That sounds horrible.
You know, here we think we're having a warm, average summer. I don't know what we call the Indian summer now. But anyways, when we have a September and a warm patch, we get to 2022. But you guys are still over 30.
We just don't go outside.
No.
And you're very comfortable inside and in the car, but you don't spend much time in the backyard barbecuing.
No.
Oh, I didn't know that it went on into September, the heat wave down there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
God, yeah.
What's that?
Yeah, it's only 90 in San Carlos, but it feels like temperature is 109.
Well, it's the humidity. See, that's the nice thing about Arizona. You don't have the humidity.
Yeah.
And where I am in town, it's actually cooler than other parts of town, but probably 6 to 8 degrees.
Yeah, 16 degrees here.
Well, it's that time. Big changes. That's for sure. So we got on an airplane for the first time in quite a while. That was quite exciting. Everybody masked up, it was 4.5 hours across the country.
Wow,
quite uneventful. Daughter dropped us at the airport. And son picked us up at the other end. Perfect.
So you flew from Vancouver Island or Victoria or Vancouver?
Vancouver City.
Vancouver. Yeah.
The airport.
Marjorie and Blair Carlson just left Vancouver Island, and they flew from Vancouver to London and then London to Madrid, but they were 2 hours delayed taking off in Vancouver. And then they said there were about 40 people on a huge Airbus.
Wow.
On the trip to London.
Well, we were hoping for that.
Yeah, that was our dream, but we were actually almost a full house. There was one empty seat in front of me, but otherwise it seemed pretty full on that plane.
Yeah.
WestJet.
Well, you could kick the seat in front of you.
I could.
Well, I almost did.
I know a girl that I met in San Carlos last year. She's flying on September 28th. She drives to the Abbotsford, which is in British Columbia, airport, and she is met by a transport driver who is going to take her car for her across the border, and she's going to get into a small charter plane with her two dogs, and they are going to fly over the border to Bellingham, Washington, and then she'll be able to get in her car and drive to San Carlos. So she has to go from Alberta, from Calgary, Alberta. She has to go west to British Columbia to get this little charter company, which is the San Juan Islands plane company. And the driver takes her car. She takes the dogs and jumps over the border. And, you know, 3 hours later, she'll be in her vehicle with her animals driving to San Carlos.
Yeah, we've heard of this story in Ontario since we've arrived, and apparently that's the workaround.
I understand they're doing helicopters in Ontario.
Oh, maybe. It was an old retired RCMP officer was telling us about it. So
that sounds expensive.
Well, she said it's going to be about $1,200 US for her to get over, but it's worth it to not spend the winter in Calgary. So she's quite happy, you know, to get there. So, yeah.
Once the stampede is over, there's no reason to be there.
Once the snow gets to be so deep.
So I think I recognize some of those cell phones, Scott.
Yeah, so this is Paul's photo that he sent me. This is the history of the smartphone going all the way back to cell phones at their beginning, the feature phones.
I could replicate that in our kitchen. In fact, I did about 2 months ago during the COVID. I got out all of our ones that we still had. But the ones that aren't in there are the Palm Pilots and the, you know, we have a whole collection of them.
I think
it looks very similar.
Given 5 to 10 minutes, I could dig out a number of these phones, including a Nokia N95 that you can't see what I'm doing on them. Let me see. A N95, you would actually flip up the screen and it would have a keyboard underneath it. So you'd hold your phone in this manner and you would push up on it and the screen would go up into a like 45 degree and you would type on a physical keyboard on it. I've got that around here. And then I've got at least two Dell PDAs. Because I was the PDA guy before there were cell phones. I used to carry PDAs all the time. And I've got a Palm Pilot around here somewhere, too, an old original plastic. I actually think that was one of the best organizers that ever existed because I got work done with it. I wasn't distracted by YouTube videos and Twitter feeds. I actually used it for my calendar contacts notes. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off there, Jim.
Well, just a bit of trivia. I had one of those phones that looked like the second on Paul's picture there, and they kept sending me offers for an opportunity to buy a new phone. Well, they said you need a new phone, and then they would when I phoned them up, they said that I had to pay for it and had to sign a contract and all kinds of things. I said, thank you very much. And finally, they kept sending me very urgent notices saying, this old phone will not work after such and such a date. You must come. We'll give you a new phone. So I went in and they pulled it out of the package and, you know, very great ceremony like cell phones are, you know, sliding this out of that and so on. And then finally they handed it to me and I looked at it and I said, oh, it's a flip phone. Do you just open it up? Is that what turns it on? And the guy looked at me and he says, you've never used a flip phone before? And I said, no, I've never used one. And he just took all the stuff and just slid it back across the table and put it away. And he says, you'll never have to know about that. He gave me a smartphone. Not a very smartphone, but it was smarter than me. So it was...
That's great. So his fear was for you to waste your time on something that you're never going to use again. Is that right?
Yeah, he was going to teach me an obsolete system, I guess. Yeah, that's right. And then when he did give me the smartphone, well, we thought he had really ripped us off because it kept ringing and it wouldn't answer the phone. And so we went back to him and said, this phone must not work because every time we try to answer a call, it wouldn't work. And he said, no, you have to slide the button, not just push it.
Ah.
And of course, that was kind of a joke on us.
Well,
this is my 5G from T-Mobile.
That's
and
go ahead, Paul.
Oh, in fact, I'm getting a call. Let me hang it up. Anyway, it's a OnePlus Nord N200 5G phone with three cameras. Oh boy, it does pretty good for the close up. That's it. What
it's
I would
Android version 11. It's that's about it.
It is amazing how far telephone have come.
So it's 4 gigs RAM, 64 gigs ROM, and Snapdragon 480 is the processor. I'm sure you all wanted to know that.
Well, what Jim was just a comment on what Jim was just saying, and I've mentioned before, I've lived down here forever. I've lived down here through all these technology changes. And one of the ones that I find really fascinating is we went through a period of time where Apple was not allowed to export certain computers, like the G5 was not allowed. It was on a list of technology that was not allowed to be exported outside the United States, specifically because it was a supercomputer at that time that could calculate like launch codes and things like that. And they didn't want to be inadvertently supplying other governments with that kind of technology. And so it took a while for it to get off that list. Now you walk around with a computer in your pocket that's easily 100 times more powerful than those computers that weren't allowed to be exported from the United States. Did I break up again? Can people hear me?
No, you're there.
Okay. Hey, put a link in this document for, it says, are these three manufacturers cheating on SSD speeds? And this is an interesting article. It may not feel relevant to you, but one of the things that has been happening recently, specifically since COVID, is these product manufacturers putting out products to reviewists. And then after getting a good review with them, changing the parts. That's the reason I've put this link in here, is that it's a good example of three different manufacturers that have recently been caught doing this. And I'm very aware of it because I pay attention to SSD drives. I need them in my business. I am helping people upgrade equipment. And so this has come as a real FU to people like me that pay attention to reviews and try and pick the things that are getting the best results. And it's a bit slimy the way that they're writing about their products, because they use it in a weaselly way that allow them to come back later and change things out and still meet those standards but get lower performance because they are inevitably cheaper parts that are being put into these things. And so I just wanted to make you aware of it. This is an example of this happening in hard drive circles, but a couple of these companies are also in trouble for doing this with SIMs, with memory chips for RAM. And there are some laptop manufacturers out there that are doing the same thing. They are actually changing out RAM. Recently, we've discovered that there are different configurations of RAM, physical configurations, that have more chips on it or less. And something about the density of having less chips within the same silicon that hurt its performance. But on paper, they read to be the exact same stat. And there's a great example with Linus Tech Tips. I follow him for tech information on YouTube. And he shows where last month they had these two laptops competing against each other. and one had much lower performance than the other. And then they took those two laptops and they just swapped the memory. And again, the memory is the exact same stats, DDR3, for example, 2400 for a speed, and whatever it might be. If you were to buy this off Amazon, both these sets of memory fulfill the same on paper specifications. And they just swapped them. And they literally changed the performance tests. They swapped the performance tests. The same computers, all of a sudden, the one that was performing better is performing worse. And what they have discovered is that there are laptop models that are going out the door to reviewists with things like this memory footprint. And then when during the cycle of its distribution, somebody decided to save money by buying this inferior memory and sticking it in, and the performance has dropped. But it still sits under the review of this high-performing device. So I think this article is a good example of that. And I think that we, as computer enthusiasts, have to be aware this is going on, specifically when purchasing equipment, but also when we're looking at upgrading stuff. What are we looking at? What quality of devices are we going to put in as our upgrade devices?
Yeah, have you heard the latest Facebook scandal?
Oh, what is that today?
Okay, it came out yesterday. It's a Wall Street Journal discovery and posted it in their paper that Facebook has a special list of about 1 million people that it will not fact check or cut them off. And it's really quite a scandal. It includes a lot of politicians and a lot of Democrats and a lot of entertainment people. And they get special rights and don't get fact checked or cut off. It's really quite a bad scandal.
And when you say they get special rights, I mean, what we're really referring to is special treatment by Facebook, because there are no rights involved in this private company.
That's correct.
It's just
special treatment by Facebook. They're not subject to their algorithms and monitoring like everyone else.
Can you guys
found this out? How did they get?
Wall Street Journal found it out, and their exclusive story yesterday.
Interesting.
Waiting. Hello.
Probably before the election, they had the flip side of that happening. I think Zuckerberg always knows where his bread is buttered.
Yep. They'll have a little difficulty answering this one.
Look what happened to Volkswagen.
I think eventually they're going to be regulated by the U.S. government and maybe even split up. Same for Amazon.
Yeah, I do believe that they're bigger than countries, you know.
Well, yeah. I did put a link into our document about Texas passing this law to ban kicking people off social media. I mean, that's really what we're talking about, is Chester's describing how Facebook can cut off Donald Trump, but can decide to leave Bono from YouTube saying stuff. And they just arbitrarily make those decisions. Hey,
well, they have a special list. I have a name for the list. I just can't remember it from reading the article.
But Chester, to be fair, you guys are my special list. If you come to International Computer Solutions and need help, you guys always get special treatment. You're on the Computer Club list.
we like that list.
Is there anyone that is not welcome to the Computer Club?
No, everybody's welcome to the Computer Club.
Is there anyone that gets cut off?
Apparently I do. Every 13 minutes. But I see the point you're trying
my goodness,
to make.
Somebody got Bill.
Well, oh, what was that? Well, I think this is very interesting, and it goes against everything they've been trying to preach themselves as. I mean, Facebook's biggest defense has been just everything open. It's really a strange political position for that organization to take, with the everything should be open, because they're having to monitor everything, keeping it all open. They're having to make these judgment calls to keep people happy.
It's all been a lie. It's all been a lying, including lying to Congress, and that could be a problem.
Well, what I was going to say is what's happened with this Apple thing, you know, where they've proposed this child protection algorithm of hashes to put up onto your phone so that your phone can see if you've got child exploitation pictures on it. If you hadn't been paying attention to that, we can talk about that another time. The point being that what it brought out was that Apple's one of the least reporters of child abuse imagery, and Facebook is one of the biggest reporters of child abuse imagery. And you have to read into that a little bit, because you would think, well, child abusers use Facebook. But in truth, what it is Facebook is having to deal with so much sensitive content that they have put together a legitimate system for reporting all these questionable images and getting it back to the right law enforcement agencies to track that stuff down. And Apple has not been doing any of that kind of stuff, and they need to start. And so this was their attempt. They want to balance what law enforcement is asking them with the security that they're trying to sell us with Apple. I think it's really nuanced, Chester, because that whole side of protection, like it's hard to say. You couldn't, like if you were on that list, I'm sure they would stop you from misinformation of virus of COVID. They'd surely stop you from child pornography, even if you were on that list.
Who knows? Anyway, Apple's also been in trouble over its store, and I don't quite understand what that's all about, but it has to do with people who do programming and sell programming through their store.
Well,
and
I don't...
They just recently lost in court.
Well, no, they didn't. They actually won everything except one thing. In fact, this just took us all by surprise. You're talking about this lawsuit that was filed between Epic and Apple, and it's a little bit of a slimy thing to get into, because neither of these companies are this is like Goliath versus Goliath. These are big powers battling out, kind of hammering out how they fit into the world, and it doesn't really affect us that much. But what happened was Epic went in trying to get them to open the App Store and trying to make it possible for them to create their own app stores so that they could sell their goods. They wanted to they argued that Apple has a monopolistic position, that it's abused, and that it's taking too much. This 30% that it takes from its developers is too much, and that because of their position in the market, they're able to stop people from selling their own wares unless Apple gets a cut. And I'm sorry, I'm not the right person to make the case for either side. But what surprised us was that the judge basically said no to all these things, that Epic was on the hook for these legal fees. But there was one piece that may end up being a critical point in this, where the judge said that you can't continue to block developers from directing their customers to other forms of payment. And so one thing that became apparent in all this, and what I think you're talking about, Chester, is that in an application that you create for an Apple device, they have stipulated in their developer's terms of service that you cannot redirect your customers to a different form of payment other than the Apple Store, the Apple Pay system for paying for things. And because of that stipulation, your application has to always go to the Apple form of payment, even if you have alternate forms of payment. And a good example of this would be like Amazon with their ebooks. Whereas if in the past, if you were able to I'm sorry. If you have an Amazon account and you wanted to put a Kindle book on your Apple device, you could not do it from the Kindle app. You would have to go onto the website and do your purchase there and then have it show up on your Kindle app on the iPhone. Now, the ebook scenario kind of makes sense when Amazon wanted to put its store on the phone, that's where it got really bizarre, because all it's for is for buying stuff. And so they weren't going to give Apple 30% of every purchase made through that store. And that's where a list of people with special or businesses that have special privileges, and Amazon is on that list. Netflix is on that list. So the Wall Street Journal wasn't on that list at one point. You could get a different deal buying it through the Wall Street Journal than buying it through the Apple Store. You'd pay more for different services. But Netflix has been on that list. Hulu's been on that list. Well, heck, Hulu's... Well, no, that's not true. Anyway, Hulu, Apple, Netflix, Amazon, Netflix, these are examples of people on this list that don't have to pay that 30% because Apple wants to make sure they're on the platform.
You're quoting what I recall reading.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's interesting because just about everything that Epic was asking for, it was denied, saying, no, Apple's fine. Apple's doing all this correct. I'm breaking it down to layman's terms. They're doing everything by the board. As far as we're concerned, you don't have a legal argument, except for in this one area where in its terms of service, its developers cannot redirect you to a different form of payment. And the judge said, you got to clean that up. These developers should be allowed a button or a link to their services where people are not locked into your payment service. And I heard a commentator from another periodical talking about this and said, now what's going to happen is nothing's going to change for the next year while we argue about what a button is.
Yeah, they'll keep it moving for a long time.
Yeah. Well, and when we talk about these things, we always forget to mention that all the outcomes that were possible have already been thought about months ago. And so the next thing that's going to happen is the next click in the gear, the cog in the wheel, to go forward with more litigation, because there's only so many scenarios that could be imagined. And so here we are, we're in one of the, because there's a finite number of outcomes, and they have so much money and so much legal recourse, they've already planned for all of those outcomes, and we're just waiting to be told what's their next step.
Well, in that regard, it's going to be very, very interesting to see the future developments in cryptocurrency, crypto coins, the whole cryptocurrency issue.
Well, the fact that you brought that up is exactly one of the points these other commentators were making, is from what they understood the judge to say, they thought it seemed reasonable that you could build an app, put it in the app store, and in that app have a button that goes to a cryptocurrency system for taking payments. And that would just be ripe for scams and fraud. And how is Apple supposed to, because one of the things that Apple's selling you is this secure marketplace where these wares, they have been vetted, kind of like going to Sears and buying Craftsman tools. And yeah, they're all labeled Craftsman, but there's a reason for that. It's like Apple is give a, their whole selling point is, we have checked into these programs. If you're going to use them, we have decided they're safe, and that's what you're buying from us. And now this judge is saying, you've got to open up this aspect of your app store, and Apple's still going to have to be vetting those platforms. So it just seems like it's an area of fraud that's going to be created that Apple's going to have to manage on top of what they're already doing. Crypto's a great place for fraud to be occurring.
Yeah, and there's going to be a lot of it.
Yeah. No, very interesting stuff. I wish I could speak more robustly on it.
Well, I think you'll have an opportunity in the future, because it's just going to get bigger and bigger as time goes by here.
Hey,
I think it was one of the Central American countries have now adopted the cryptocurrency as their national currency.
El Salvador is using Bitcoin as their national currency now. It'll be interesting to see what happens.
And I think, was it England set up a cyber currency exchange so that you have a trading going on in a worldwide exchange?
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see how it all develops. And you can imagine that China would dearly love to get away from the U.S. dollar as being the world's currency.
Cheryl, I think we cut you off twice. And Jim, you can follow. I'm sorry. Cheryl, what was it you were trying to say?
Well, China's been after a new default currency for a long time, for a decade or more. They want to make a new currency based on a group of different currencies rather than the single currency, which is the U.S. dollar, which has been the default for a long time.
Yeah, they would like to see a package.
So that would
currencies.
I mean, my analog to that would be like a mutual fund, something of that nature, where it's a pool that is creating that value.
Yes, yeah. You have a an international currency versus the U.S. dollar as being the international currency, which it is now.
And there's some theory that if one goes up, the other one goes down, and it would keep more stability because there's a lot of volatility in currency. And when you see what's the volatility in the cryptocurrencies, it's probably likely going to be infectious.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens with El Salvador's, because they've got to have some dollar to use on the street or some peso to use on the street. And so what's going to happen to that value when you attach it to Bitcoin? I know here in Mexico, they've always described it as that balancing that happens between the U.S. dollar and the peso is like a big stick with one on each end, and you're teetering it on one side. And so the U.S. end's going up and down just very little, and on the Mexican side, it's just bouncing up and down as fast as high as you can imagine.
You talk about that exchange rate, it has remained fairly steady for a very long time.
Yeah, we've been at about 20 to 1 for 2 years now, even right through COVID.
More than that, I would say 4 years.
Yeah,
I would agree. It's about 4 years, and the Canadian peso, it goes the same rates as the U.S. because the Canadian and U.S. So, we've been the same with the peso as the U.S. has been with the peso. The Canadian has been with the peso. Yeah,
and because it's been sitting for, I think 4 years is probably a safe number to think about. What we're really looking at there, then, like Canada, Mexico, the U.S., they're all moving parallel to each other with world inflation, but their individual rates aren't changing, right? It's like as things go up and down in the world, so does the dollar, so does the peso, so does the Canadian dollar. Instead of doing this kind of thing, the dollar and the peso are moving at the same time. The dollar and the Canadian dollar are moving at the same time. Am I understanding that right?
But the one that is very, very different, well, the two, I guess, are the euro, and the British, because of the Brexit. All during Brexit, the money was changing all over the place. So Canadian dollar to UK, it was really, really outrageously priced. It was very expensive to do anything in London. And the euro was a better currency for most of the people until Brexit happened.
But Mexico with the US and Canada are really all joined at the hip.
Yeah. So I wouldn't say globally, but I would definitely say North America.
North America. And I bet that analogy of the teetering stick is probably going to become more and more with places like Britain with the Brexit. I didn't read the article. I saw a headline the other day. It was just really scary. It's talking about the future of Britain could be without resources the way they're going right now. They need to do something quick because they can find empty shelves like some poor communist nation.
If you use something like XE.com that shows extended graphs, you'll see that over the last 10 years, it was floating about 13 for quite a while. Then it went from 1914 to 16, between 13 and up to where it basically currently is. And since 1916, it's basically stayed the same.
Yeah. That's the U.S. and the peso?
Correct.
And was that that was 2016, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
And before that 13 level, it was 10 for ages.
Yeah. When I got here, it was 7.
I have to go. I'll see everybody next week.
All right, Chester, thanks for being here. We'll see you next week.
We haven't haven't talked about shows, and I was wondering what you're watching, but I also want everybody to know that this new Cinderella movie is a must-see.
The new Cinderella movie is a must-see. Okay. We'll right. put that on the list. Really
I'm looking for something to watch, and but I have started entertaining myself during the daytime by going to, I don't know why I never discovered this before, but by going to YouTube, and I can see history, I can see automobile recoveries, all kinds of stuff that I have an interest in.
Yeah.
I don't know why I never found it before, but all of a sudden I'm there.
Yeah, YouTube is a neat place to watch different things. And if you can get off the cat videos, you can find something. I'm also watching the next series, next season of Why Women Kill.
Oh, yeah, we haven't gotten to the next one. Go ahead.
Adios.
Talk to you later.
We have 10 minutes left.
Look at that. We got 10 minutes left on this. You know what I also just noticed? We haven't been streaming on YouTube at all. I thought I hit the button, but I didn't. So that's definitely not the source of the problems I've been having over here.
I've been watching Big Timber on Netflix, and it's about a logging operation on Vancouver Island. It's very interesting.
What's the name of it, Paul?
Big Timber.
Is that a documentary or a drama?
No.
It's a more, docudrama.
It's more of a reality TV show, I would call it. But Big Timber, yeah.
A reality Big TV show. Oh, yeah,
Scott?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, just a thumbs up for one of your recommendations last week was Only Murderers in the Building. We've been watching that.
And,
And thank God it's a series that comes out once a week. It's not the whole group, or we'd have been binged for a long time now.
Well, that's what we did is we binged it until we couldn't get any more. And it's like, damn it. Now we got to wait till next week.
That's what Cheryl's used to getting the whole thing in one swack. And she got to episode 4, and she says, What? Yeah, what? I said, well, it's next week, dear.
It's like when we watch The Mandalorian, we have to wait for a week to see it. But we are enjoying it. Only Murders in the Building. And Carolyn and James, I think you guys would like it too.
Yeah, I saw them, the actors being interviewed on Colbert.
I was looking forward
to seeing that too.
I was gonna bring up that interview. That was great with Steve Martin talking about where he got the idea for the show. Did you caught that part, Jim? Where Steve Martin is talking about he's had this idea for like 10 years of these elderly guys that are true crime enthusiasts, these three guys that love to solve crime. But they're seniorly. They don't want to leave the building. So they decide they only want to solve murders that happen inside the building. So they don't have to leave the building.
Where's the building? New York?
Yeah.
It's New York.
Yeah, it's in New York.
But then they've got Selena Gomez.
Well, that's right.
They got Selena Gomez in there.
They replaced the third elderly gentleman in Steve Martin's imagination with Selena Gomez.
Yeah.
Which,
and the other thing about the Cinderella is a very... for example, the prince gives up his kingdom to follow her because she wants to be a businesswoman. So, Scott, I think that your girls will love it, and that it is a very strong women's movement kind of Cinderella. So it was quite the twist, but it's the girl that plays Cinderella, Camila Cabello? Oh, I can't say her name right, but... the Cuban singer.
Okay, I'm not familiar with her in any form.
Well, my granddaughter is, and we watched it with her, and she sang every damn song. And so did Cheryl. Cheryl knew half the song.
Well, she's the one that recorded Havana, and I don't know, Carolyn and I were in the same dance lessons in San Carlos, and we danced to that one. So that's when I was introduced to Camila Cabello, and then she shows up in Cinderella. But she also they have the song Material Girl from Madonna, and another Queen one, Someone to Love. And so it's got some really neat music in it. And it's
about half the songs are covers.
Yeah, they're cover songs, but somehow it's an Amazon Prime, Amazon production, and they were able to do this. So.
Well, that's wild.
Speaking of which.
Oh, go ahead.
Our Disney Plus somehow has an age restriction on it. And we can't figure out if it's our Amazon account or where it is that we have to go, because we search titles and it tells us that you cannot watch this or something. Somehow we get a message and it says, go to your settings to adjust this so that we can watch adult content. So we have to figure out how to do this.
Well, offhand, that sounds like a Disney Plus setting. And it may have to happen on the website.
But, okay, not on the TV and not on an app.
Well, maybe on an app on a mobile device, but you might even have to follow it all the way to the website, figure out where that setting is. It sounds like there's an age.
But would our
go ahead.
Is our Disney Plus subscription tied to an Amazon account? That's what I'm not understanding.
It could be. You could be doing your billing across Amazon, but your parental controls, your parental controls would be, well, I guess based on both. I don't think Amazon's equipment can, if it was parental controls of Amazon content, then it would be the Fire Stick. If it's parental controls on Disney Plus, then I'm pretty sure it's Disney Plus's services that you're looking at configuring.
Okay, so one is you go to Disney Plus and log in with whatever information you have there. And the other one is I go on the Fire Stick to the
Because the Fire Stick and Amazon are kind of, they're tied together.
Okay.
Your Amazon account's providing services for the Fire Stick.
Are you doing something that you see? No. Yeah.
So what I would do is I'd go into your Fire Stick first off. That's the easiest thing. And look for parental controls and make sure they're turned off. Make sure that you just don't have any parental controls on to begin with. And then you've eliminated that as being part of the issue. But I'm fairly certain you're going to find out that you guys are sharing a Disney Plus with people, right? Or are you? And so are you guys the ones that own the Disney Plus, or does somebody else own it?
We own it.
Oh, that's interesting. So that would mean that you had inadvertently set parental controls on your own account, which is an unusually difficult thing to do. Possible. Well, it's possible. But maybe
so try on the Fire Stick underneath general settings or something, or
I can't remember it. I don't have one in front of me, and but I do know that it's in settings. There's a parental control feature.
Okay. And then if that doesn't help, then go online to a Disney Plus account.
Yeah. And I really think what you're doing is you're just going into parental controls on the Fire Stick to verify that they're not turned on. Because I don't think the Fire Stick really has any I'll be surprised if the Fire Stick has anything to do with it. It'll be good to know. We'll wait for a report next week.
They probably can't buy any adult items on Amazon either.
This has actually been my nemesis, is parental controls on Amazon's devices and services. Because, like my kids, I probably told you before, I put Minecraft on their tablets, purchased from the Amazon store. But at the time, I had to give full rights, because the store has to be installed in their tablets for the program to work. And then to use it, they had to have full rights. Well, full rights means they could buy, anything. They could buy a car off Amazon, right? Well, no, they can't. I don't have that kind of credit. But that's the kind of access they had to the Amazon store. I went round and round with Amazon before it became clear that was an aspiration of parental control, but they absolutely did not have it working yet. And I had to teach my kids not to make purchases if they wanted to play Minecraft.
Yeah.
If they wanted to have supper.
Yeah, that's right. I don't want to see.
We've been chatting.
Bye, because we're ending.
Carolyn was bye bye.
Bye, Paul. Go ahead, Jim. And we're running chatting, out of time here.
Yeah. Well, we were chatting. Carolyn was busy, and
oh, that's cute.
There you go.
It's my doodle day.
Doodle
day.
Hey, my computer says we have less than a minute, so I'm going to say goodbye. The call's about to end. You guys have a good week. I always enjoy talking to you. We'll talk to you next Tuesday, if not sooner. Have an awesome week, and tech on.
Tech on.
Nice to.
Ooh, and we're out. We're out. So going through waves of technology working and not working. Who knows what is up? I didn't even get to get a recommendation in this time. So I guess I'll save my recommendations for next week. You guys have a good time out there. This did not get streamed, so what I'll do is I'll upload it momentarily. Until next Tuesday, everyone, you have a great week and tech on.